You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey. Guys, you guys know what it means when you hear me, Pat, or Tom talking before we actually do the whole thing. We got a little track debut here. This one goes to some of our OGs, been with Axe to Grind for a long time, and we've been with them for a long time, too. The band is Terminal Nation from Little Rock, Arkansas.
On top.
Little Rock on top. They have a new LP coming out May 3rd entitled Echoes of the Devil's Den on 20 Bucks Spin. Yo, that's cool. Shout out to 20 Bucks Spin. Cool label that is adjacent to our world, not in the adjacent way, but kind of in the metal way. They've done a lot of really cool records. So our buddy Stan hit us up, was like, yo, want to do a debut? And we're like, absolutely. This track is Cemetery of Imposters featuring Kevin Kennedy of Sex Prisoner. Awesome song.
Bob, before we get into it, let me just say, I think this band's last record made my best of the year it came out.
Yep.
You're going to hear what they are in a second, but if you don't know everybody, this is just, it's dirty music for people whose clothes are unwashed. Mm. There's not crust per se. It's just the people that enjoy this, it's been a minute, you know, like the outerwear has dirt on it. And the armpit smell.
But they do sell deodorant at their merch table.
That's true. And
I mean this in the best possible way.
Yeah, I'm just trying to beat that a little bit. You're like, yeah, well, their fans, okay, stink.
No. Listen, I'm a fan. And I do stink.
I mean, I smelled you. You're pretty rough.
You've smelled much better in the last, like, decade. You've done a big...
You know what?
Well, you know what? He gets a lady and then...
Yeah. I want to talk about that this band is the truth. Mm-hmm. I don't gush about every band. I like... pretty much everything we play, but I don't gush about every band. This is a very special band. I would like everybody to listen with open ears.
The record is Echoes of the Devil Den on 20 Bucks Spin. This track, Cemetery of Imposters. Let's go.
Little Rock on top.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
Fellas,
We're here once again. And you know what? Actually, man, we're doing all sorts of stuff. We had that Terminal Nation debut before we got into it. We got a little extra like magic dust here. Tom, take us away.
So, I don't know if you guys have heard, but that band Drain is doing a tour.
Oh, Drain. Ooh. Drain. Familiar.
Are you familiar?
Familiar.
So, it's a little joke because they're pretty big. They are playing in Jersey City. Let me get the flyer up. Sorry.
Jersey City. I believe they're playing at White Eagle Hall.
White Eagle Hall, which if you haven't been, it's a beautiful place.
It is, yeah.
It's beautiful where, place.
Great sound. Great sound.
The Hurley Brothers from Duke. Mm. That was their home gym.
Yes.
That was
all right. Good fact.
St. Anthony's played basketball there.
Okay. Dan Hurley, coach of the national champion UConn Huskies, who Bill Murray's son is one of his assistant coaches. How about that?
Interesting.
So Bill Murray has a son who's a basketball coach and a son who's a cook.
That's right. Living well.
The Murrays are multitudes. So Sunday, May 26th in Jersey City, 337 Newark Avenue. It's like a 3-block walk from the PATH train for all you folks who are not familiar. Mm-hmm. We got Bayway from New Jersey. The Shape, which is Kevin from Old Wounds' new band, doing like some 80s synth type stuff. Our boy Ace, Mutually Assured Destruction, MAD. Mm. Our buddy Akil and End It are playing. Mm. Our pals in Scowl.
Mm.
A lot of good bands going on.
These are
on
bangers.
Here.
What are we doing?
I mean, and people throw around the term goat and goated.
Goated.
But we're saying this actually means something for this band, Terror.
Oh, it's true. That does mean something.
Yeah. And Drain headlining. So it's Sunday, May 26th. You're all off because it's Memorial Day weekend. Doors are at 5. This is the only time I've ever seen a show. Doors are at 5. Show starts 5:50.
That's honesty right there. That's
I love
honesty.
It. I like it's all ages, Jersey City. So go check that out. If you want tickets, please email takedownevents.nj@gmail.com. That's our buddy Greg. So he'll be handling all of them. He'll pick however many he wants to give away.
That's right.
But email him as soon as possible. He also was doing some like light field research. And he wanted to know, this is not going to affect whether or not you get the tickets, but what your favorite New Jersey hardcore record is.
Mm. So what we're looking for, now just email it, takedowneventsnj@gmail.com.
Yes.
Just email to get the things. You might get a little extra bonus kick if you throw in what your favorite New Jersey hardcore record is, but just email, get those tickets, celebrate some NJHC, and enjoy the Drain gig at White Eagle Hall, Jersey City, on
Sunday, May 26th.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Guys, while we're in the spirit, let's say thank you to our benefactors. Thank you to Live a Lie.
Oh, yeah. Basquiat.
Thank you to Run for Cover.
Caravaggio.
Thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
Keith Haring.
And thank you to Convulse Records.
Tom, do you have anybody?
Who's the guy that? Oh shit!
We got to do our Ninja Turtles.
We do Leonardo.
Okay, all right, done.
Convulse Records, convulserecords.com. You're gonna go there. You're gonna click on the Candy Apple Comatose 12-inch. It's a pre-order. This is their second album. Denver band. Noisy, aggressive, just like the nail that's scratching on the chalkboard just got jammed into your hand music. New record, very excited for this. If you were a fan of some of the Denver stuff that was going on, I mean, look, not even that long ago, but has that really dire, really urgent, really gnarly, little bit of noisiness, but not in a noise rock way, just in a like, hey, this is bleeding from the ears music. Candy Apples for you. They also did a Total Control VHS tape. Total Control is a film the band and Kane Cox put together. You can stream that on YouTube right now. I'm pretty sure the VHS is all sold out. But go get this record. It's a big one. This is one of those bands that I think of as being kind of synonymous with the modern era of what's going on in Denver. And really, like, what they've been doing is impressive. I could say a lot more. I'm going to save it. Go order that record. You will not regret it. ConvulseRecords.com. Check it out. Guys, Closed Casket Activities, ClosedCasketActivities.com. Closed Casket has a lot going on. True or false, Tom?
I mean, the stuff that's coming is insane.
Yes. But
stuff that we're not permitted to discuss.
Percolating. It's one of those things. It's
it's gonna be a busy summer.
Yeah. Steaming pot and the lids just kind of like jumping all around kind of thing. That's what's going on. But
it won't boil if you keep watching it.
That's right. So just don't think about other things. Today, what I'm going to tell you, because it's going to lead in a little bit to some of our conversation, a band who had a pretty interesting weekend, I'm sure. The band's Incendiary. We talk about them a decent amount. We could probably talk about them more. We've said some pretty big things on here. Likely the most important, largest, most drawn in current band of New York for the past, of hardcore for the past 15 years, maybe. I don't know. It's
probably 15, 20 years.
Yeah, that's big words, but Incendiary has any number of records to check out. All of which are available through Closed Casket. I think the one that I think has become, it's become the record I think people should check out from the band. The newest one is big. People are loving it. But Thousand Mile Stare seems like it hit in a way that just grabbed people and just sits on people. And it's like, oh. And I think that's where I'd tell people is a good starting point, because you can go forward and back, which is an interesting and cool thing to do in hardcore in 2024. So I think this catches the band as they are fully formed, know what they want to do, whereas the newest LP is like, all right, where are we evolving? How are we changing? Thousand Mile Stare is like, yo, you're getting a concentrate of Incendiary. So I would recommend people check out Thousand Mile Stare. But I'm not the Incendiary expert. Tom, where would you tell people to start on Incendiary in the year of our Lord 2024?
I think what you said is, I mean, my go-to is probably Cost of Living. But I think what you said is right. If you're trying to introduce somebody, it's almost like you're watching like Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Where do you jump in? Right? Probably like Fast 7 is like, is probably the best, because you get like, they're still racing cars, but they're also still trying to like, you know, defuse an atomic bomb.
Right.
Somewhere in between. You know, Fast 12, they're going to be like flying in space and shit. Like, that's far down the line. Maybe like, that's like 6 Incendiary records from now.
That's right.
But you get right in the middle and you go like, oh, I have a feeling for what's before this and what's coming. It's like not a transition record, because they didn't make any kind of crazy leap.
Sure.
But I think it's the perfect like midpoint between their earlier stuff and the later stuff that gets a little more like more moshy, like heavier, but a little bit more like it's pretty a lot of the playing is it's super kind of original and I'm trying to think of the word.
It starts like they start to explore the reaches of what they can do while still being Incendiary, still being a hardcore band, still doing like metallic tinged hardcore. That's just kind of become their own thing. It's hard to put your finger on it, but it's where they're going is true to their sound, but expanding, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think, like if you like, you know, that could be like their Jane Doe.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a good place for it. And Closed Casket Activities, Incendiary. Check out all of it, but start a Thousand Miles Stare. Why not? Fuck it. Guys, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm good. Tom was tripping over that so much. I thought he was trying to find a way to say something that he didn't want to say. I was like, what? Do you hate this record, Tom?
I'm trying to think of like intricate. But it was not. I was thinking of every other I word I've ever heard other than intricate.
Well, and I also think you're familiar with it in such a way that it's like, how do I get into this without it being like too inside baseball?
It happens to me basically every episode of this podcast. I lose a word and I say three other words that orbit that word, but are not the correct word. So I'm very sympathetic. Yeah. I was just witnessing that going, is Tom, what, has he got beef or something?
Yeah, all of a sudden, after like 10, 15 years of knowing those guys, I'm like, you know what? Fuck those dudes. And here's really what's happening. No, I was just like, I became very aware that there's like thousands of people listening to me and I'm struggling. Like, not intricate, not intense, not like, I'm like, what the fuck? And I couldn't think of it, but it was intricate. Like the guitar stuff is a lot more intricate than it had been.
Gotcha. All right.
I feel for you, Patty.
Yo, can I air a gripe, because it's going to lead into what we're doing today.
Love to.
All right, let's go.
Wait, let me do this hard and fast thing that I said I was going to do.
Yes.
Three quick hardcore things, hard and fast. One, the band Alienator has a new 7-inch that is available for order now. Time to Die. Go get it. Two, what is the other record I just got hyped up about? God damn it. I'm all excited about something. The Dark LP, Singing Into Madness, coming out on Toxic State Records. Dark, gritty punk, vaguely Motorhead punkish kind of, but not in any kind of cosplay way. It's cool. Recommend for fans of crusty hardcore. Please check it out. And what's the other thing? I ordered something today. Let me look at my orders. God damn it. Just in general. Records coming out on, what is it? Damien Records? Is it Damien? Who's putting out? Late Shift. The band's Late Shift. LP's coming out next week, I think. Yes. And it's coming out this Friday, actually. Perception is Reality. Art and Layout by Mark McCoy. It looks incredible. And this is a band I've heard a little bit and I'm excited about. So go order that. I had some other stuff, but in the interest of this, I have been thrown off this evening, dudes. Do you want to know why?
Tell us.
Basketball.
No. That's a whole nother subject. No, I had possibly the worst vegan burrito that I've had in ever. Maybe
since
the worst.
1999.
Like literally, but I'm like, I was struggling because I'm like, like ever since I was aware of what a vegan burrito would be, like understanding that vegan means no dairy, no meat, et cetera, et cetera. Yo, I'm not gonna put the
you're not gonna name him and shame him.
I'm not gonna name and shame because I had this like weird dwell off and an axe to grind mind, which is, oh, this is a local spot. This is not some chain. If it was fucking Qdoba, I'd shit all over it. It's a local spot. Some people celebrate it. It was a vegan burrito that I did not eat half of it. And I had a small child who was sharing it with me.
Wow.
So I think I had like three or four bites of this thing. It was like, this is bunk. It was so bad. I can't even describe it. But it got me to the thought of, is a bad local restaurant that you're like, you know what? I want to like it so bad. This is like the third straight bad eating experience over like 4 or 5 years. Because last time I had food there, it was bad enough that I was like, I'm not going back for a while. This sucked. And kind of just like convenience was like, all right, let's go here. Fine. Why not? Was really open-minded. Was like excited to like it. You know that feeling?
Yeah, you're rooting for it.
And it was just bad. And I was mad afterwards. I'm all thrown off. But I was like, is this the hardcore equivalent of like a new local band? You got maybe like the name. You saw their flyer, saw their demo or whatever. And you're like, this is cool. Then you put it on or you go see them and you're like, oh shit, this honks.
Yeah, there's a band that I've big upped here several times and I guess I could still do it in good conscience because I think the records are fucking good, but they are.
You saw it live and it wasn't live?
Oh my God. So,
vegan burritos is the question. Are we like doing vegan burritos of the Jersey Shore? A service by not being like,
I know.
You know what? You got to go back to the drawing board. Maybe get like Daiya cheese instead of something else, or like.
You know what? To be honest, too, it wasn't like it didn't have any. There was no dairy stuff at all. No fake cheese. No nothing. It was like a barbecue tofu thing, which usually I'm a sucker for. There was a spot in New Brunswick called Southwest Burritos in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I think I just about lived on their like barbecue tofu burritos because they. It was like two softballs wrapped in a tortilla, you know? Like
sure.
It was just a massive amount of food for like $5. So I'd get it and I'd have like two and maybe a half meals out of it. And I was good, you know? Like if I could get two and a half meals out of $5, I was pleased as punch. So I'm like, all right, this is kind of similar. It's got some veggies in it. It's beans and rice and barbecue tofu and da da da. Yo. Back to the drawing board. I'm not going to shame them. Plenty of good vegan burritos out here. That just wasn't one. Threw me off. Had me thinking local. Had me thinking when you have that weird experience. And then I remembered what our topic for today was. It was our...
I bet you there were bad vegan burritos there.
Oh, that's an interesting question. Patrick, you had a wild weekend in the city of sin. Why don't you go in?
I did. All right. So everybody, this story starts with me wanting to see the band Swans. I'm in Los Angeles and I said, oh, I wonder when I don't know why. I must have seen something online that they're playing or doing shows or whatever. And I said, oh, I wonder when they're coming to Los Angeles. I look, it's today. But I said, and then I see on the routing, they're playing Vegas the night before and it's part of that festival. And I know that I can get in for free. So I go, oh, you know what? If I can make my all around costs as small as possible, I'll just go to Vegas. And I did that. It was a terrible, terrible life decision that I'm still paying for. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was technically worth it, but
at least tonight we can talk about it.
Well, it's worth it.
A tax write off.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It'll provide content.
So Pat, can I ask you questions? Can we help lead you through?
Yeah, please.
All right. So Los Angeles to Vegas, what is that? 4 hours?
Four and a half.
Did you drive? Did you take public transportation? Did Dave drop you out of a helicopter? How did this work?
No, I took a shuttle, a Sprinter that leaves from a hotel in Koreatown, a hotel that I'll make this brief. I go in to use the bathroom before I get on the shuttle. And everybody's behind glass and they act like I'm Osama bin Laden. And they're like, hey. And there's no reason to AA me, yeah. Right? So I say yes. And they say, what are you doing? And I say, I'm using your bathroom. And and they act like I'm, again, like a war criminal. And I say, I'm getting on the shuttle that is leaving from your parking lot. May I use your bathroom? And they give me the code. And I use the bathroom. I come out and the guy is trying to relate to me. He goes, I'm sorry, man. He goes, niceness is the key. And I wanted to be like, niceness is the key. But I just wanted to walk past you to use the toilet. But it is a neighborhood where the foot traffic is not desirable, right? Like sure. It's going to be somebody is going to die in the bathroom of an overdose. Everybody, for perspective, the bathroom at the Burger King in Schenectady is haunted because it has two overdose deaths. Not two overdoses, but two overdose deaths.
You rule.
So,
that's the Burger King.
So the guy's talking to me and I say, and I'm about to tell him a story where we agree like, it can be rough. This, the neighborhood has a certain clientele to it, whatever, certain aura that, I get why you did it. And then I try telling him a story about when I was 20 and I worked at a restaurant in Manhattan and I let somebody off the street use the bathroom and they shot dope in the bathroom and they passed out and it was my boss was super fucking mad at me. And I am about to tell the story and I say, yeah, I made a mistake when I was in my 20s and this dude stops me and he puts his arm on me or the hand on me. And he goes, man, all that matters is today. And I realize that he now thinks that I'm talking to him about a drug problem that I have.
Yep.
Right. Like you're clean today, bro.
And but it's there's a tiny bit of a language barrier. So I look at him and I go, thanks, man. And I don't tell my story.
You can take the basis of that anywhere. It doesn't have to be him thinking you're recovery. So,
really quick, footnote here. Tom, how many Burger Kings do you think are in Schenectady?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be.
I'm guessing 3.
7.
Wait. Patrick, say it again.
I'm guessing 3.
He's dead right.
Well, I mean, he also lived there in a baseball. Yeah,
I know my Schenectady.
Altamont, Erie Boulevard, and West Campbell. And how many in Albany proper?
9. No. 5.
Tom, you want to guess?
I'm going to go 7. I have no. He's probably right again.
3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
One on West.
I mean, Albany has become like a foodie place.
Latham only, sadly, has the one on Loudon Road, which I have a photo of myself with at least maybe just Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles. But,
All right. So you take this shuttle.
I take the
Are
shuttle.
You the only goth/punk/metalhead on this?
I thought you were going Caucasian when you said goth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the only person on it until Anaheim, at which point a woman in her 20s gets on, but her mother comes to me and says, "Is this safe?" And I said, I hope.
Do I look like the guy to ask? I'm dressed like fucking,
right.
I mean, Fear and Loathing.
I did have my Inspector Gadget outfit on. So she gets on.
This guy's clearly a detective. It's got to be safe.
If anyone has ridden, I'm sure many of our listeners have ridden the Feng Hua or
Chinatown bus. Yes.
The Chinatown bus from anywhere to anywhere. There is always, and I rode the Chinatown bus from Albany to New York City no less than 100 times. Mm. I'm intimately familiar. I've taken it from New York to Boston. This is a cultural thing.
I've done New York to Boston like 100 times. Yes.
Yeah. For me, I know everything about this. There is never not a shouting match between the operator of the bus and somebody on the bus. Never not. It is a lock. It will happen. If it doesn't happen, usually it happens at ticket taking time. If it doesn't, it happens mid trip.
Yes.
This one happened mid-trip where there was some argument between this young woman and the driver about baggage, an extra fee. He threatened to kick her out in Barstow, and she's for good reason, she's saying, "You're kicking me out in fucking Barstow? No." So escalating beef. Everybody knows the bus stop in Barstow, by the way.
Bad.
It's
bad.
Famous. It's disgusting.
There's not even a proper comp. It's like being dropped off. If Altoona was worse, like you're in the middle of nowhere and it's like you get off the bus and the first thing you trip over a pile of meth, you know, it's bad.
Yeah. It is nowhere you want to be. And anyway, we stopped there to fight for 10 minutes and then, back on the road, I get to Vegas at maybe midnight. I managed to keep my costs low because I am staying at a wealthy friend's house who is out of town and just gave me his casita. What do you call like a little side house?
Yeah, you can call it a casita, sure.
So I'm staying
at a house. You're like who's the dude that lived behind OJ?
Cato Kalin.
You're the Cato Kalin. Sorry,
drug dealer.
And yeah, the things nobody wants to say.
Killed over drugs. That's all. Let's go.
And he, like I said, he's doing very well for himself. His guest house has a wall-sized TV. Mm-hmm. I don't even want to go to the festival anymore because it's this quiet, dark little guest house that is so comfortable. And the TV.
YouTube.
TV is stadium size. I was so excited. I started watching Thief, the Michael Mann movie on Amazon Prime, and it was like I was in it, you know? So I fall asleep. The next day, I go to the Whole Foods, very disappointing hot bar, and then on my way to the festival. But I take public transportation because I'm trying to keep my costs down. This was a mistake. Firstly, because I forgot that the sun in Vegas is just ass, so I have to stop and spend $200 on sunglasses. Everybody keep the tally right now.
$200?
I walk
has into a sun- to spend $200.
Hey, you two. I walk into a sunglass hut at a down market mall.
Yeah, and it's called walk into a gas station.
Yeah, no. We're not doing some shit that makes my eyeballs fall out. I go to the sunglass hut and I say,
bad and bougie over here. Keep it going.
And I say, hey, it's funny you should say all this because I said to the man, I'm looking for $100 sunglasses, and he very politely said. Those don't exist anymore. And so he directed me to the $180 sunglasses and then somehow managed to upsell me on protection plan. I might return them. I might start treating Sunglass Hut like a rental spot. Anyway.
Why not?
So I go to the festival on the bus. The bus is taking longer than expected. Therefore, I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna miss Glare, who people have told me I wouldn't like the type of music, but that they're very good. So I said, okay, I'll check it out. But there's no shot. I'm missing them. And then I want to catch Fury. So I'm like, I'm running. I'm a grown man that's running. I should mention I'm wearing sneakers I got in the mail the day before. And while they look pretty nice, they are not suited for a man with particularly wide feet and a horrendous bunion.
What do you got, so Hokas or what?
I start bleeding, and it's not going well. So I'm running, want to catch Fury. I forgot that even with guest list, artist pass, all that nonsense that I had, you still got to wait in a security line to get to do the little – you know, hey, I'm legit. So I'm missing band after band. Fury, not a shot. Spy, not a shot. Zulu, not a shot. So now you got to figure, I've been between bus and line. It's 2 hours of me just being like, oh, well, missing bands. I came here for a reason, but I guess not. I get in midway through gel. So any questions you have, ask me post-gel.
Post-gel, okay. And just so everyone's aware, because I don't think we said the name of this festival, it's Sick Sad World? Sick New World?
Sick New World. Sick Sad World is from Daria.
Sick Sad World is from Daria.
That's the one that happens in California, and they get like the Cocteau Twins, the headliner.
Okay, so yes. All right, so we're starting the day at gel.
I can't tell you anything about Spirit Box. I apologize.
Bummer. And I want to shout out Fury because they made shirts that look decidedly new metal, and they posted a picture of the boxes of the shirts. You know, if you work at a screen printing shop, you've ever gotten merch printed, usually on the side of the box, you either write it or there's a sticker that says what the design is, so it'd be like, you know, drug church Patrick's face shirt kind of thing, you know, Fury new metal shirt. So credit to them, just pandering. Love it. Gel, you got there during their set, which from what I understand looked banging.
Yeah. The videos were cool shit.
It was banging. I was really, everybody, I'm going to use the word shocked or surprised here, but that's not because any of these bands don't kill. It's simply because I don't know what the vibe was and what it was supposed to be. When you have a fest that is new metal plus shoegaze, oh yeah, and we've got a hardcore tent, I don't know what to expect, right? And
so there's five stages.
Mm-hmm. Four, I think. Five. You're right.
The gold stage, the red stage, the spiral stage, the siren stage, and the hardcore stage was the Diablo stage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a goth stage pretty much. It was like VNV Nation. Because I want to see VNV Nation at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, I have a lot to say about that, but
we'll get there. Right?
Gel, the Diablo stage was a metal tent, so that part was good. I'm a stupid person, and in my mind, I saw a thing. Sometimes I have this bad problem where I'll picture a thing in my mind, and I don't realize that I haven't accounted for the fact that it's in real life, things aren't what I want them to be. They're what they are. So when I show up, Pat,
when you're in the desert, it's a mirage.
I thought I was going to sit on grass.
Oh no.
There's no grass.
No. And the city of Las Vegas did away with a lot of their green work programs because they realized it was outrageously expensive. About a decade ago, they started moving away.
This is a parking lot.
Yeah.
So it was, brutal hot. You know, I'm not going to say everybody was an ugly mutant, but I, you know, I'm saying that. But I'm not saying that. And it was, you know, the type of people that are really fucking excited to wear branded merch of the festival talk about System of a Down incessantly. Now,
got it.
So that I'm clear, that's just your coworker, and I got nothing against him. You know what I mean? I'm going to sound superior at times here, but that's because at times I was not enjoying myself, and maybe that'll bubble to the surface. But the reality is the crowd was excited for what was playing, and everybody seemed to have a good time, and that's all that fucking matters ultimately. So if I ever sound like a fucking snob here, forgive me. But okay, let me run through this if I can, and you guys stop me if you have any questions. Gel, great reaction. Really, people just into it. And I heard the rednecks. I texted you guys because I heard a redneck conversation, which was, "Hey, Gel, pretty sick, eh?" And I said, "That's why you play the." No, it was more. Sorry, I don't want to do Mexican guy voice. It was more like, "Hey, you know what I mean?" So it was a really good set, and then Ultra Sun. Ultra Sun was kind of maybe the dancier Depeche Mode sort of stuff, perhaps. It's that type of music. I watched some of it, thought it was completely capable at what it was and sounded mostly good, but it was not exciting to me necessarily. So I walked over and watched Power Man 5000. And let me just say, that's a tragic scene right there.
At 1:45 in the afternoon.
1:45 in the afternoon, but there was AstroTurf, so I got to sit down for a second. And at this point, my foot is already bleeding. It's, you know, I need to take a seat.
You're waiting for the one single that you know, the World's Collide song?
Yeah, but the problem is it didn't sound very good, at least from where I was sitting.
Now, how big is this stage? Can we get, how far are these plates? I mean, how much walking was involved? And, like, how big are, like, the main stages? I mean, I heard there's upwards of, like, 40 to 50,000 people.
So the main stages are very within earshot of the Diablo stage where the hardcore bands played. So if you wanted to walk from, I don't know, whatever, if you wanted to walk from Super Heaven to Primus, you could do so.
Right. The two main stages were next to each other, right?
Yes. The Spiral stage was also very walkable, but by the time you're getting to the Siren stage, everybody, or maybe I'm getting these backwards, it was a little annoying. So if I wanted to go from Diablo stage to Siren stage, it was, for example, Knocked Loose played on the Siren stage, and by the time I got there, there was no way to enjoy it. It was packed all the way back, and I gave up. So it was walkable, but a little annoying for a guy with a bleeding foot. Okay, so I watched.
All jokes aside, bleeding foot is a rough ailment. Rough.
Yeah, it was not great. I started to regret my decision almost instantly. I wanted to go home and watch Thief, but I'll get into that.
We also have to point out that you forwent. Is it forwent, right? All of the accoutrement for being someone who got was on the guest list for the thing. So you had you could have been in the air conditioning the whole time.
You went you went
drinking
GA.
Someone else's water.
I should mention this
intentionally to be in with the hoi polloi in GP, general population.
Yeah, I was doing a bit, and I don't know why I was so committed to the bit, but I wanted to do a festival in the way that everybody does festivals. And I don't do very much anymore because I play music and I usually have access to other places, but I wanted to do it as guy that intentionally wanted to go see System of a Down. So this is no disrespect. I had like 30 friends at this fucking thing and I didn't want to talk to any of them. I just wanted to watch the bands with a bucket hat. I talked to you guys about it ahead of time. That was the plan and I was sticking to it.
Thank you.
So I go and watch Power Man 5000. From where I'm sitting, it's fucking brutal. I get up.
Grind, the hardcore podcast.
Yeah, right. But I'm going to say something wild here. I get up for the next band and get closer, and Helmet sounded like $1 million. And
not surprising.
Not surprising. And I became a helmet fan after 40 years of not giving a shit about helmet. And the reason I became a fan, despite the fact that they looked like they looked arthritic, but the reason I became a fan is because when that fella Page plays, he, this is not to insult other, the other bands, he's right. playing. Like he solos in interesting ways during times that you like. It was not the helmet that I expected. I expected an album helmet, and it was something a little bit more interesting than album helmet. It was like real guitar playing, like enjoy your instrument stuff, and therefore I enjoyed it.
I like that. That's cool. Very, very positive reviews on the recent wave of helmet, like live shows. Everybody I know who's some longtime fans, some newer fans who've seen them in the last year, year and a half have been like, yo, they rip. They just, they go hard. So
it's cool.
So I enjoyed that a ton. I don't know if I'm a fan that would listen, but I, you know, I'm maybe. Okay. So then I walk back to check out Trash Talk. All right. Let me say this. I'm a guy who got the bad reputation of disparaging Trash Talk because I said I couldn't find the tracks. Even while I constantly said they were among the best live bands of their generation.
Correct.
They are still one of the best live bands. If they played every week, they would be infinitely the best live band. They are just extraordinarily good at the thing that they do. That doesn't mean that they sound great. It doesn't mean that they're like, that's not what I mean. It means that like they are a great hardcore band. And watching them this time, I had a revelation of sorts, and you run this by me, or you tell me how this hits you.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know how I'm always giving Gel credit for kind of as much energy as they have around them for not having a single non-hardcore element to their sound?
Right, yes.
Is Trash Talk the biggest actual hardcore band of our lives? Like, I mean, not Hatebreed where people will shoot at Bale and say this. I'm saying like Trash Talk is just a hardcore band. And there's no other element to their songs unless I've missed an album. So
you might have missed a couple tracks here or there, but for the most part, no. What you're saying is like the core of Trash Talk sound is strictly like hardcore of the fast variety on top of that, you know?
I mean,
they've done stuff like this for years. Like this is all new to everybody else on this. I feel like they've played festivals.
Oh, these kind of shows? Shit. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Sure.
When they were the only hardcore band on it.
I mean, but that's what I mean, right? Like, I don't like that sort of, there's a lot of festivals that they've played that just wouldn't interest me, a lot of tours that wouldn't interest me. But I think that the thing that they did, I mean, it's undeniable. They just reached people that otherwise would have no exposure. And they honestly provided a really good gateway, not because their sound is very accessible, but just because they are an exceptionally good live hardcore act. So,
right, they put on a show.
Yeah, those people got their money
hanging off shit. Like, yeah, yes. If you never saw a band, like, you know, because they're doing stuff with Odd Future, they're doing like wild shit that it's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. they laid the groundwork for everyone doing what they're doing now.
Oh, I mean, they were way prescient with the hey, we'll do rap shows way ahead of their peers.
When we were all like, that makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I mean, it still doesn't make sense to my ear, but they proved me wrong. You know what I mean? So it's like,
but not this moshing, like, you know, like those bands that people go, you know, like City Morgue or fucking Suicide Boys, like those are like, there's like mosh pits, like it's like a fucking Slayer show.
Right.
So I watched them and I was very impressed. I you know, Lee still has complete control over the audience. The band is like, you know, when somebody stomps and you feel it, like it feels like it has weight to the stomp, and it's just, I was really impressed, and I was glad to see them. I didn't expect them to suck, obviously, but I just didn't know. I hadn't seen them.
It's been a minute since you've seen
them. Yeah, I hadn't seen them in years, and they were excellent. okay, Super Heaven I watched, or I watched some of, and I'm just gonna say, somebody was talking to us about doing shows with them, Drug Church. And, yeah. and we said to them, hey, like, not to be disrespectful, but I think it would have to be a co-headline because we don't know what you're actually worth at all. And, you know, Taylor was very realistic about that. He's like, yeah, us and the other. And maybe I listen, bigger than Drug Church for sure. It would be a very charitable co-headline if they allowed us, because I watched them and I did, firstly, it was a full tent and I did not know if, oh, maybe these people just want to get out of the sun. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, right, right. No,
everybody. What's that?
What's a full tent? If you had a guess, I know you're terrible at this sort of stuff.
I'm terrible.
5,000?
No, nowhere close. If I had to guess, a full tent was 1,500, 2,000, maybe maxing out at that. That particular tent was not huge, and maybe somebody that is there can hit me with a different number, but it was, it did not feel huge to me. It felt like a 1,500, but I will say that there was also, obviously because it's open, there's no sort of, there's no cap. So everybody that doesn't understand
this. For real,
caps are interesting. Did we talk about this, that there's caps and then there's heavy guy caps? Are you?
Yeah, I told you that.
Did we talk about this on air? I don't know if we did.
Oh, listen, Tom it's said real. It. Tom said it. And then when I followed up with a guy who is the manager at a big venue, he said, yeah, we're not allowed to say that, but yeah. I said, wow, I had no idea. So Bob, it's basically just what you think. Like,
no,
Crowbar has a different cap than Blood Brothers.
Yep.
Sorry for the old references, everybody.
I was going to say, like, maybe like a young person, like a K-pop group or something. You could probably get 1,200 people in a room, but if you got like, you know, Carcass is probably playing in front of 900.
Yep.
Right. Yep. So,
all right. So anyways, I'm getting here. I said, what's the capacity for the Diablo stage? Would you say? And our friend that was there, who booked a lot of the bands on that stage, said 10,000 packed.
Tell him, stop lying. That's weird. if you could fit 3,000 in there, I would be mind blown. When he says 10,000, does he mean the area, you know, plus the hotels nearby? So, okay. Next up, we've got Tsunami. I did watch all of Super Heaven because I watched Tsunami.
You didn't run to go catch Taproot or Skindred?
I did not, although I left midway through Tsunami, who got a bananas reaction. We're talking like two constant pit sort of reaction. You know?
Tell us, what as they were setting up, they tested the 808 or whatever.
Oh, yeah. For perspective, everybody, Tsunami is at the point in their cycle of excitement that they've got people in where when they're testing the bass drop, people are losing their minds. People already know what it is and they're excited as hell. They start chanting the band's name. They want the bass drop and they come out, they played and they destroyed two pits the whole time. It was just, this is me being transparent. This is no disrespect to Tsunami, but it sounds very weird for me personally to say this because I am a Hatebreed fan. Whereas Tsunami, I'm an observer. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It reminds me of that, of when Hatebreed was super popping with hardcore kids and you had the metal kids too. So you had a metal pit plus a hardcore pit. And it just reminds me of that. It was big and it was full and it was wild.
Sick.
I know that I am told that I have to make it. I can't leave after the box office closes and I need to get food. So I say, oh shit, I'm going to run over to, anyway, that whole exercise of running to a place took me to the drug motel district of Vegas.
Oh, I know.
So is there no food on the property?
There might've been, but I wasn't walking around. I wasn't trying to buy like the System of a Down burrito or the corn coffee that was on sale.
Corn coffee.
So I went to a vegan smash burger place that, took me to the drug motel district, and it took way longer than anticipated. So I missed Fleshwater, I missed Loathe, and then I came back.
Really quick. Was this the vegan Smashburger spot that was in not really a restaurant, but like you go in and it's like a plain white building?
Yeah.
Tom, to explain this, it's like you're, Patrick described it, the drug motel area, but then you go up to a completely nondescript white building. And you're like, this is this highly rated like vegan hamburger thing. What the hell? You walk in, there's no tables, there's no nothing. You go up to a window and it's like a multi-stall of these weird restaurants, and you order. I think they try to encourage you to order on the app.
Yeah.
And like then they just you take it from there. It's very it's one of the weirdest. Like went in and it was like, yeah, I thought I was going to sit down and like hang with some homies here.
Nah, man, get it to go, B.
Yeah, weird.
Okay, so I watch some of Kubla Khan, who I just got to say, everybody, they make it difficult to talk about shows that they're on, because there's two shows happening. There's whatever they're on, and then the Kubla Khan show.
Right.
They are a legitimately big band. They are, you know, they have a song. It reminds me, it's much more musically complex than Throwdown, like the early Throwdown stuff, but it reminds me of the early Throwdown stuff where you almost can't believe it's as stupid as it is. Like they have a song where I thought I had received a head injury. I thought like a piece of, like a girder hit my head, because he repeats "Take a Swing at Me," I don't know, 55 times. And I felt like, oh, what happened? Did I die? Am I stroking out? Have I not drank enough water today? What is happening? But here's the thing. People lose their minds. it was crazy. And the fullest that room was all day. I mean, packed all the way out. Okay. So
anywhere between 2,000 and 10 million people, according to
that. Yep, exactly right. Yep. Oh, I should say that on my way in, I did stop and watch some of A Perfect Circle, who...
You dig them at all?
What's that?
Do you like them at all?
I like a couple songs, and I want to like them. So I gave it a shot for maybe 10 minutes. And firstly, they sounded unreal good. Sounded like, you know, real musicians, fantastic on a live stage, just big. But on those screens that you have to watch, because the figures on the stage are ants.
Right. You're fucking four football fields away from.
Right. That singer Maynard is in some weird stage of life. He does the same thing with Tool, where he does not want to be the front person.
He's not what doesn't want to be perceived. So he's like on like a riser, like behind the drummer or something.
Yes. With apparently orders for the camera not to touch him, because it never did. And
wild.
So I'm watching the guitarist, who exceptional guitarist, not the most dynamic performer.
I mean, they all just stand still.
Yes. So
the drummer's insane too, but like 45 or, oh no, no. Oh, the, no, no. I'm thinking a Tool, but even, yeah, but the Perfect Circle, the guitar player was like Tool's like guitar roadie.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
And then the drummer is who? Josh Fries maybe or something?
Could be. I mean, I was let in the inner drummer circle, where there's literally four dudes that just sort of get the phone calls. Okay. Drain has a lot of hype, but I didn't know anybody. Like, I had to play after Kubla Khan once. It's not desirable, man. I was nervous for Drain, and then I was proven wrong. It was a very good show.
You guys also held it down between you went on between
Kubla Khan. I know you like to say that, but you don't got to soften it up for me. It's not easy, man. It's going up against an 800-pound gorilla. It's rough. So
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Drain, they didn't defeat the gorilla. They held their own against the gorilla, and it was very impressive. They were excellent. They were just
it was Godzilla awesome. Versus King Kong.
Yeah, they were awesome. And then let's see, missed Motionless in White, missed Static X. But Tom, you told us about Static X, like what they do now.
Yes. Yeah, so the singer died,
and they replaced him with a guy who dresses like a robot mask. Version.
Yes. A human being inside like a version of it, like, because remember the singer had a very tall haircut, like very high.
Yeah.
And so
can't
like
find another guy with that haircut.
So like literally he plays guitar, dresses just like everybody else in the band is wearing like sweatshorts. This dude's coming out in like full fucking regalia with a mask and his hair teased up. So he looks just like Wayne Static. Rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P.
It's so weird. Like, I feel like it's like the Tupac at Coachella was less disrespectful.
Yeah, I agree.
What they're doing to this dude.
Unless it's like a thing where Wayne's child is like a sixth member, in which case.
Awesome. You know what, though? You don't have to dress him up like a dickhead. He could just be the guy that took over for Wayne Static.
No, I almost like it better. It gives the people something. Like, I don't think that's a guy you can replace, because we all know that Wayne Static is an icon. So
is a singular talent.
Yeah, exactly. So Vane plays after Drain, and I had not seen Vane in a long time, and I don't mean to say that they were ever not good, but I had not seen them I have not seen them since they've become like a big room band. They really sounded excellent. Like I was out front for a good portion of it, and I was impressed at how kind of, you know, again, it's not my place to say that like, oh, they've come so far, because people love them from note one, but there's just something different about having played a million shows. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so obvious when you've played a million shows and you are just comfortable on a stage.
I mean,
it's
called tour type for a reason. You know what I mean? You're just getting that.
Groove. So I enjoyed that. So the Code Orange knocked loose. Somehow I watched like 10 minutes of Ginger. I don't know how that happened.
Some people are just lucky, you know?
The Code Orange knocked loose thing was obviously the conversation piece, right? Because this is bands that had, at one point, similar sounds, and now Knocked Loose has just pulled into this other space where, you know, they're not technically the biggest band in heavy music, obviously, but they're kind of the hottest, right?
Their name being entered in that conversation doesn't sound crazy,
right?
This is the only overlap I see looking at the schedule that was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah,
because everything else is like, are you going to see fucking Super Heaven or Taproot?
Right, exactly. So this one was. Oh, by the way, I just want to briefly talk about, and I believe we have the same booking agent, so I don't want to get. I passed Ice Nine Kills on my way in. I know they're doing like a horror thing, right? Yes. And it reminds me of like Thomas Dolby with metal parts, but they do a whole American Psycho bit. American Psycho is not a horror movie. Watching this thing, it was like, just, I don't know. I found it upset me. I was like, this is not why? Cause he has an axe in one scene. It's not a horror movie. Get out of here. Okay.
What would you say?
So, Code Orange and Knocked Loose. So I tried to run between the two with a bloody foot, as a, in the interest
like of now it's like a stump. Yeah. You just like
Kurt Schilling over here. Oh right. My fuck!
Pat dropped off his sock at the punk rock fucking Hall of Fame across the street.
I did. Thank you. And
new metal.
I just wanted to see. Okay, what is this?
Yeah, what's the energy? And, what are we seeing? Yep.
Well, Knocked Loose was insanity, and we can talk about the internet discourse of did Poppy sound good? Everybody, no, she didn't sound great. She sounded fine.
She sounded cool.
Yeah, it sounded fine.
I watched a live video of it. It sounds cool.
It didn't sound like the album, so people are like, I just can't even imagine being in front of people where they expect me to sound like an album. I just saw Hate56 just put out a Drug Church at Tied Down, an incredibly fun show. I sound terrible. And if anybody wants me to sound better than that, get your refund at the door. Because go to Place of Purchase and get a refund, because I'm not insane. Knocked Loose, this is kind of your fan now, because you let Poppy in the door, a thing I wouldn't allow. I wouldn't allow Poppy anywhere near me. But
other than if you were doing Mexican voice, man, hey Poppy, right?
Yeah, Poppy. But I find Poppy completely distasteful. That's YouTuber stuff. But hey, that's fine. Kids love it. Like, I'm going to get flamed in the comments now because that's how much kids love Poppy. So everybody, I'm old, washed, take your Poppy. It's fine. But the idea.
So is that where she started or where the band started?
She started as a YouTuber. And then, but you know, like a Mr. while Beast? Ago, like 2014. So like, let's not.
Like Jake Paul.
Well, here's what I'm saying.
You mean Logan Paul, probably.
I do not care for what she does. So therefore I'm going to sound dismissive at points here, but when I dismiss her as a YouTuber, that's unkind. She was a YouTuber in 2014. You're allowed to do more than one thing in life. It's that's fine. Right. But I don't, the type of music that she makes is the type of music that I actively avoid. And therefore I just, you know, I'm jumping to dismissals.
She does like theme songs for like WrestleMania, like right? Isn't that like her deal? Sort of.
She's like a great singer, right? You think she's a great singer?
So, but listen,
Pat aspires.
She's dominated that space. The comments on the Knocked Loose Poppy collab are they're Poppy positive, exclusively. You know what I mean? Like their fan base, there is significant fan base. I just want to say though that metal fan base that wants you to sound album perfect on get out of here with that. I hate that.
They're used to people playing with backing tracks and shit.
Well, yeah. So that's the part that they don't understand is, hey, you should celebrate when you can detect that the singer is struggling or is not having the perfect day, because it means that they're actually doing a thing. Some of the bands that played the other day, sounded great. And it actually, once you see backing tracks in action, you kind of go, oh, they sound great. That's suspicious. You know, so, you know, everybody, when Poppy doesn't sound like the album, you should go, damn, Poppy out here doing it. You know what I mean? So anyway,
yeah, 100 degrees and we're in the desert and her voice doesn't sound exactly perfect.
Right. And so everybody, this is my defense and my attack on Poppy. I think that, and honestly, I don't even know if she identifies as she, but we'll just go with a she.
Yeah, you're going to be a Poppy man in a few months. It's fine.
Poppy, I defend Poppy's performance, but the type of music that she makes is just buns. But anyway.
It's not meant for us.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, decidedly. So Knocked Loose versus Code Orange. Okay. I was curious if Code Orange was going to be discouraged, if I was going to be able to see that on a stage. Right, because obviously these two bands have similar
trajectories,
similar fans, but Knocked Loose is just infinitely hot right now. So, I have to give it up to Code Orange. They do not, and I don't want to talk out of school. I won't talk about their money. I'll just say that everybody got paid so well for this festival that you should not have betrayed. Nobody should have betrayed a frown. Nobody, right.
No sour faces with the money that you're walking home with.
Yeah, I don't. I want to say things and I won't say things. But everybody should have played with giant smiles on their faces. Shout out to Sick New World for paying bands. Let's say what they're worth. Now,
well, if you do $350 a day, like general admission tickets, is probably enough
and
money
you've
to go around.
40,000 to 60,000 people or whatever it is. Yeah.
Right, so System of Down. Literally, the last time they played was this last year.
So this, as it turns out, is their, it's either their manager's festival or their agent's festival. So we're going to see System of a Down until, you know, that relationship falls apart. Also, you nailed it. They only need to play this. You know
what I mean? Like they're nut for the whole year. It's like they make enough money that like four adult men in the band, their agents, they're, you know, like they all get enough that they can be like, see you next year.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, salute to this festival for really taking care of the bands, as I understand it. Bands got paid. So, but nevertheless, you know, there's egos to, and you know, you never know if people are going to say like, yo, I got totally rammed with this festival program and I'm, you can see it on my face. Yo, let me say, Code Orange, consummate pros. Like they played for a crowd that was excited to see them, but it wasn't big. It was, you know, half tent sort of thing, whatever. And they murdered for those people. It was like they were playing in front of Wembley Stadium. You know what I mean? Like they just do the thing that they do and they betray no sort of like, hey, I'm not with how this played out today. Which, you know, some people would have been like, I'm not with how this played out today.
Right. They call it the boo-boo face in wrestling.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, because you can tell, like, if someone, there's certain wrestlers that you can tell, like, when they're coming out, you can look on their face and you can tell they're going to lose.
There you go.
Because they're not happy with the booking or whatever.
Mm. Let me say, Code Orange didn't have the, what'd you call it, the goo-goo face?
Boo-boo face. No boo-boo face.
Boo-boo face. They did not have that.
I do wonder how these stages, like the two main stages, like they make sense in terms of, I mean, I didn't know Danny Elfman was that big of a deal. I mean, I'm sure he is for this crowd because he does fucking, what's this? The fucking thing from Nightmare Before Christmas, whatever. But like, I feel like the Diablo stage doesn't really make a ton of sense.
Oh, no, it doesn't make very much sense at all.
Like, I mean, so I'm sure, I mean, all these bands are big, but I feel like I'm looking at this Tsunami and Kubakana headlining.
100% yes. No disrespect to Incendiary or anybody else.
But, no, but, I mean, they're huge. But, I mean,
and I'll get into Incendiary and how
Knocked Loose is bigger than Swan.
Oh, I mean,
let's be realistic. And they're going on.
Tom, I'll get to that. I'd love to talk about that. So, okay. Better Lovers. Well, firstly, somehow I watch a few minutes of Seven Dust.
Time of your life. Seven Dust was great, right?
I am informed by somebody in the know that Seven Dust is just a working class band that fills Thousand Caps like 130 days a year, and that's just what it is. Like they're just a band that never stopped playing and works for their money. So as much as I found nothing of value, I still was, you know, I respect that. You know, they go to work. I saw some of Better Lovers. Oh, that's right. So I walked from Better Lovers and past Seven Dust. Okay. So Better Lovers, here's my take, everybody. So this is former members of Every Time I Die with the fella from Dillinger Escape Plan.
And Will Putney.
And this could, that sound is, it's maybe due for resurgence, but it's not there yet. So this band is kind of, are they going to be the only one, the only people standing in that particular type of metal, of metalcore? Maybe they're good enough, certainly, but they need some type of little push into whatever it is that they, you know, like they'll get good festival spots because of who they are, but they need that little push because obviously they're all good at what they've done. Like there's no rust on them. They all played like maniacs, you know, they played well, but for that to work, for it to go as big as I'm sure they want it to go. I think that they just need some magic fairy dust sprinkled on them from above. And I hope that happens for them. Cause, I only know some of the Every Time I Die guys, but they're sweetheart dudes. So, this is not one like Tom, you played shows with Every Time I Die. I'm sure your peers with them.
Yep.
But have you checked this out very much?
I listened to it just cause who was in it.
And it's like capable, like Every Time I Die core, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously they have a very particular style. So, you know, who's writing the songs.
And what's so interesting about that is that people liked those last couple Every Time I Die albums, and people never stopped liking Dillinger Escape Plan. So what this needs is just whatever the fairy dust is that puts you on the right tours. Static Dress I missed, and I didn't want to. I don't know anything about this band, despite the fact that the name comes up. So I wanted to check it out, and I did not get an opportunity. So I don't know.
but they're more like industrial kind of stuff.
Is that I don't know. There? I have no idea. I thought it was honestly kind of the sort of metalcore. Like I thought it was Poison the Well metalcore with like updated electronic parts, but I could be completely wrong. I have no idea.
Well, looking at their – so this band's music was categorized as post-hardcore, metalcore, screamo, and emo. They often make use of elements of alternative rock, electronic music, jazz, gospel, Americana, punk rock, and nu metal.
All right. Bob, what word did they lose you at?
Pretty early there. Pretty early.
Okay. Jazz lost me personally.
Yeah, that's the one that when it hit
– I think gospel kind of threw me off the edge.
Okay. Then I want to talk about Incendiary. By the way, Polyphia, that type of music is, I didn't know what I was in for. I stood there having a conversation with Polyphia as my background music for a few minutes. Whoa.
It's like math, right? It's like,
you know what? Though? You reach a level of math where you just sound like Sublime. Like you play so complex that you sound dumb. That's what it ended up as. Incendiary. So they had to play with people getting ready for Slipknot in their backyard. So Slipknot, you could see Slipknot from Incendiary's stage.
Oh, I think you were saying like Slipknot was like from Vegas. And I was like,
no.
They're from Iowa.
It was... I thought it was going to be a bloodbath because kids love Slipknot. We don't, this festival, listen, Sick New World, I want your money next year. So I'm not, you're not going to hear me badmouth you, but the two things that kids mythologize more than anything is nu metal and shoegaze. This was the mythology festival where yes. it was things that people build up in their minds to be a thing that they didn't experience firsthand. They were only listening to the records. They were too young. So they mythologize these genres that were not strictly speaking very cool. And they've rewritten the history books so that, you know, System of a Down is the coolest band that ever lived. And
I don't know if that's true though. That I think Slipknot stands out as the like, and they were having a moment that week because it's like, yeah, you know, it's always like, who's the new drummer? Oh, they played fucking Pappy and Harriet's and Pioneer Town. Like they were like all over the internet.
Right.
And I think people like, I don't know if anyone is like, you could ask like current day hardcore folks and be like, you know, do you like Slipknot? And they'd all like be like, fuck yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know if those same people are being like, I fuck with Toxicity.
No, so I think you're right, Tom, in the micro that Slipknot in the hardcore world is given this like, what do you mean? Like, this is just cool. And it wasn't. And to me, it's not. It's just still doesn't. I don't make any connection between Slipknot and the music I listen to. Full stop. That's okay if you do. It's not for me. System of a Down. To what Pat was saying, they were not a cool band. They weren't like like, I don't know even how to explain this, but like,
they're a better band.
Yeah,
sure. Yes, sure. And significantly more popular.
I
mean, there's some
songs that you go, I like this.
Well, right. And significantly more popular, catchy, what have you. I don't know that they were given like allyship to hardcore. Like, I never saw any connection there either.
I think they're closer.
Listen, I'm going to say, yeah. Oh,
it sounded like Jello Biafra when he first came out.
No, I get it, but it's a bigger question too, is like, do we comp things to hardcore that are minor league, major label music because they haven't hit the majors yet? Or is hardcore something different than that? And that's a hard conversation. Because there's some people who are in the hardcore world who are like, would aspire to be the minor league to major league music, you know? And that's not to diss people who are outside of it. It's just to say that in my head, they were different. You know what I mean? Tom, Indecision, Most Precious Blood, you guys were never like, boy, we're just like we're the single A Marilyn Manson. You know what I mean? Like, you were never like, boy, if we could only make it to that big level. It was like, no, what we're doing is this. And cool, right, we'll take it as far as we can, right, and have fun. Yeah. And yeah, so
never, no delusions of grandeur that we were going to be like, yeah.
No, and not some odd, crazy aspiration, though you also didn't frown at being able to pay your rent when that opportunity came, right, either.
But we did it the way that we felt comfortable.
That's exactly right. So anyways, continue, Patrick.
So I thought that Incendiary was going to get butchered and it was going to be a bad vibe. And it completely was not. That tent was far from full because people were on their way to Slipknot. But the people that stayed, which was not a small amount, it was not pitiful by any stretch. The people that stayed were first Incendiary fans who were loving it. And then there was just exactly what you hope for from this type of festival. There was just people who walked by, saw something that equates to bounce mosh, and they said, all right. And then they watched.
And that's how you win people? That's cool.
That's what's up.
The videos looked really cool. They looked comfortable on a fucking giant stage with some crazy ass fucking lighting. Like, they looked like they belonged there.
It was cool. It was, again, I thought they were going to get murdered, but not because there's anything wrong with them, just because I cannot think of a thing I would want less than playing against Slipknot in 2024.
Did you see that they had a sign language interpreter on the side of the stage?
I did not see it in the moment. I have caught it since.
I've seen it in the video. It's pretty amazing.
So a few of the shows that Drug Church has played has had sign interpreters. Everybody, if you're curious, the Americans with Disabilities Act means that you can call the venue, who will inform the promoter that you would like that at the show. I don't do it if you're not in need of that, because it comes with the cost. Yeah,
probably not cheap.
Yo, that's I like that. That's available. It's cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that I did go backstage at around this point because, a listener of this program who had some bands on this show said, what are you doing? You don't have to prove yourself anymore. You've done the entire day in general audience, general admission. The bit is done. And my sock was now wet and red. So I said, okay, yeah, let's go. hung out backstage for a short amount of time and then went to Swans. And if I could just say, firstly, I don't know what Sleep Token is. They wear masks and they are huge. So Sleep Token played, System of a Down played, and Swans played. How many people were at the Swans gig? Give a guess.
Less than 1,000.
No, 5,000.
200. I watched Swans in an empty.
Did you like palm a clicker? Were you like counting when it came in? How do you know?
I was so fascinated. 200.
You
by
can
this.
Start counting groups.
Yes. Tens by. I was so fascinated by this. I started eyeballing. It was sparser than sparse, and it was. I was miserable all day, and this made the trip worth it. They started 10 minutes late. Michael Jira was miserable.
But isn't he always, isn't that like the,
the way that he directs the band is so nasty. Like, he uses just quick hand gestures with a frown. You know what I mean? Like,
that's why he's always got a new band.
And yeah, exactly. And at one point, he's experiencing something is not right with the monitors, and he's constantly gesturing to the sound guy, monitor guy rather, in a like very like aggressive sort of way. And then at one point, he loses his composure. The song never stops playing. By the way, I should mention they played 1 hour long song. So, wow. He never stops playing. He points to like to the ground in front of him, and then he starts telling like you know, very irritatedly, like defensive coach in college sort of style. Get the fuck over here, get over here, to the monitor guy, who then comes out on stage so he can be yelled at in his ear. And it was. The drummer looked so uncomfortable the entire show. Like, he was sitting on, like he was in the movie Speed, and at any time he could blow up. And it was so great. I loved every second of it. I got to sit on the AstroTurf with just 200 other people and witness what probably for a lot of people that were walking by, they thought it was just, like an old man with dementia moaning, and yes, it's my future. So it made it worthwhile. It made the hour and a half that it took to go 15 minutes back to the place I was staying after the show, where surge pricing meant that Ubers were $60 and a half hour wait, and I had to walk a mile and a half to get a reasonable Uber price. It made that worth it. It was one of those musical performances that I am so glad I witnessed, and they probably thought it was the worst show of tour. You know,
I'm sure
it was great. You know, like it was great, terrible. I mean, they sounded great, but it was great, terrible. And, so I got what I wanted out of that festival. I will never do, you know, Patrick, like this is like when somebody says I could eat a pound of fudge.
Yeah.
And right. Then they start and it's, our podcast brothers who are like, I can eat 50 chicken McNuggets or whatever.
Right. Right. Oh my God.
it's, you can't do these things physically. When I said, and you realize that very early on, that's how I
15 chicken nuggets at a quarter pound of the fudge. You're like, I've made a fucking terrible mistake here.
I mean, quarter pound is even brutal, but
I know.
So that's how I will never, don't let me say things like, yeah, I'll do GA. I love GA.
I'll take a Greyhound across the country.
Yeah. Don't let me say stuff like that ever again. This was rough, rough.
And it's amazing that Vegas has become
the dust,
like the go-to for these types of things. Like, and I mean, dude, it was fucking April and it was, I couldn't imagine going to, you know, this in Coachella seems like my hell.
I mean, Tom, think about how much you don't like to be in direct sun like for hours.
I'd melt. I'm Irish. I'm an inside person.
It is something else. And if you could be strategic about it, the interesting part is that it was very difficult to be strategic because bands were playing like 20-minute sets, 25-minute sets.
So I have a million questions.
Go ahead.
Did all the stages or all the smaller stages with all these like crazy back-to-back sets, did they all have the turntable?
No. So, well, Diablo stage had instantaneous turnaround, 5 minutes.
So you want to explain that to folks?
Yeah. So everybody, this was a thing I hadn't seen before. There is a cloth divider between that acted as the backdrop for the bands on the small stage, on the hardcore stage, Diablo stage. And the way that there was very quick turnaround for each band was the stage spun so that after the band that just played got off the stage, within 5 minutes, the next band would spin to join them. So if you can imagine Drain getting you pumped up from behind a curtain, and then that, and then the stage starts to spin, and then you have
slowly,
Drain,
by the way,
and then you have Drain start to, they're getting you excited while they're spinning. And different bands did it different ways, right? Different bands, like some bands were not about the anonymous hype up, other bands leaned into it. It was a system that I had never seen before, but it worked. And the other ones, honestly, like the Power Man 5000 into helmet setup, to my knowledge, that stage definitely did not spin. And it was still a very quick turnaround.
I mean, Power Man 5000 went on a 145, helmet went on a 220.
Yeah, it felt like everybody played 25-minute sets, and the turnover time was 7 minutes. That's how it felt, which made it very difficult to be strategic, because I said, oh, you know what? Maybe midday I'll go sit at a casino for a few minutes, eat a veggie burger, whatever.
Chill out.
That was really not an option. Unless you're one of these people, and there was many of them, who paid $350 to show up at 6 p.m., which strikes me as wild, but I encountered many of them when I went to go grab food.
Wow. I mean, I guess there's certain, but I mean, like looking at somebody's show, band, like going on, like Spirit Box, like legitimate big band, 1220. Yep.
Yeah,
Kitty went on 1145.
I was in line with like trying to get in with people that were like, oh, Miss Spirit Box. You know what I mean? They wanted to see it and missed it.
Primus 325, Lamb of God 245, Alice in Chains. Did you watch any of Alice in Chains?
Oh yeah,
no, but I heard them. Yeah. I mean, sounded exactly like Alice in Chains. Yeah, there you go.
God, have you seen the version of them? James Hetfield doing? Is it what song? He does an Alice in Chains song. It's fun. It's a fun watch. If you enjoyed Static X or any of this other garbage you talked about, you should definitely check it out.
Listen, I want to talk at great length about kind of the excuses that we make for some bands, as you said. Like, I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about how, as we've said on this podcast a million times, you can love hardcore music and also love nu metal, or you can love hardcore music and you can also love shoegaze. You don't have to make everything the same thing.
That's right.
It's okay. You don't have to
it's okay. Slow that dive, some things are not hardcore.
Slow dive doesn't need you to hardcoreize them. They feel fine about their place in this world. Like Slipknot, who are probably like, I'm sure they like Corrosion of Conformity,
yeah.
But I don't know if they're getting. I don't know if they're getting any more. You know, they don't
points need, on the next record because hardcore kids are like, yo.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody, you don't need. And when
they don't care about you.
Well, when the discourse was, why was nobody stage diving at the Slipknot show? Slipknot would not know what to do if someone stage dove.
They'd be like, get these kids the fuck away from me.
Yeah, people would get tackled. It's not everybody. Not everything is the same thing, you know? And I say this as a guy that, like, people would like Drug Church to be a hardcore band, because it's same probably the same reason. Like, they know me from one thing, or it fits because they like it and they also like hardcore music. I don't, like, you know, it's okay. It's okay. It's a Goo Goo Dolls played fast. It's fine. You know,
Goo Goo Dolls are a hardcore band.
Oh God, here we go.
They were like a punk band.
They were a punk metal band, which is like the lowest form of punk involved music.
It's like, the early 80s. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm if you're an early Goo Goo Dolls fan, everybody, God bless. I'm just saying that having crossover with things that we enjoy does not mean that, you know,
those things are hardcore.
Yeah. We're making too many excuses out here. There's not a young person that I know into guitar music who doesn't enjoy Slipknot. That's all you got to say. And it's like, it's the same thing with Metallica. There's not an old guy I know who doesn't enjoy Metallica, but I don't think Metallica has anything to do with what I enjoy. Nothing.
I mean, James Hetfield claimed Edge for a while though.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. And as you pointed out, you could see him at hardcore shows. Like there is photographic
stories about him at CB's and stuff.
People try to beat photographic him up. Evidence. You know, yeah. What I mean? But it is, that doesn't mean it's the same thing. If I'm a dude in a hardcore band and I go to a rap show, it doesn't mean that like
hardcore band now.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean that the rap community is saying, "Yeah, thank God Patrick's on the team." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. No. Anyway, that's my piece on that. I apologize. I should go as there's a little girl here who would like to watch. There's a program about a tractor that is very kind-hearted and looks out for the animals on the farm.
Does she enjoy Bluey?
No, she's really into this tractor. I forget the tractor's name, but
Bluey is supposed to be one of the very best shows for children. It's like sensory and like kindness and all that stuff without pandering. High marks. So get into Bluey, everyone, and not a whatever new metal we talked about. Good night.
System of Down, best hardcore band.